It's time for three stories you should know. Sexual harassment allegations have reached ESPN and the NFL Network. Five former NFL players now employed by the networks have been suspended over sexual harassment allegations. There are also accusations against SportsCenter anchor John Buchagras and fellow ESPN employee Matthew Berry. And that's where we're going to start this week. I'm joined by SB Nation Charlotte Wilder. Hello, Charlotte.
Hi, Bill.
And by Mike Pesca. He's the host of the Daily Slate podcast, The Gist. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
The accusations that I spoke of against ESPN employees and men working at the NFL Network have me wondering if they are the result of the particular subcultures that are involved here, or is it the culture at large? We have talked at length sometimes about how great young male athletes learn early that they can get away with things that would land less athletic young men in trouble. Is the alleged sexual harassment at networks where men who are former athletes work a result of that? Or, as some people have said, does the way these organizations treat male athletes as heroes and women as cheerleaders or swimsuit models influence the way women are treated in the newsroom? Or is this alleged behavior no way different or distinguishable from sexual harassment committed by television anchors or movie producers or members of the U.S. Congress? I leave this question open. Charlotte, any answers for us?
Been thinking a lot about this fall. I don't think that any one subgroup of people are more likely to sexually harass or assault or put women in really terrible positions in the workplace more than any other. What I do think is that when power comes into play, men can be absolutely awful. If you look at any industry, anywhere where there are men treated as hero figures because they are a moneymaker for an organization, because they are a draw, because they feel kind of invincible in some way, they are more likely to abuse that power. And you could say that of athletes, maybe that could go to their head. You could also say that of guys who run hedge funds. You could also say that of, you know, someone who is high up at a media organization. I think it's a problem everywhere. It's a big problem in sports media. You know, it's not just the athletes. So I think it's important to keep that in mind and not sort of single out any one group, but try to fix this across the board.
Mike, sports world worse than any other world, or by focusing on sports world, do we let other worlds off the hook?
Actually, I do think it's worse, Bill, because there are just so few women in power within the world of sports, men's dominated team sports. I mean, you could rise to the highest level literally with never having a female supervisor. You know, that's not even true quite often with the military these days. So men can act and be rewarded without being tempered by women at all. And I do think, though, I have to say that the NFL Network allegations seem worse to me than against the two ESPN employees. At the NFL Network, it seemed to be kind of a cruel, crude harassment going on. A female employee's place of work, actually, her workplace was a men's bathroom, according to those reports. I still don't get that.
It's an awful problem everywhere, and I certainly don't mean to diminish the fact that it's a bad problem everywhere by bringing it up in sports. I hope people won't take it that way. Mike, let's move on to your topic.
Well, I happen to like the NFL, which is in all sorts of circles of society. Not a popular thing to say these days. I will watch a show. I will TiVo it. I will sometimes go back just to watch particular linemen play. I don't do this all the time. But when a game comes, like last week's game between the Patriots and the Steelers, I get excited. And so does America. This game set ratings records. And I do believe that President Trump's constant criticism of the NFL and players kneeling for the anthem has caused a slight dip in ratings. Other things could have caused that, but if you have the person with the biggest megaphone probably in the history of planet Earth constantly criticizing your product, I could see where that would have an 8% decline. But I got to tell you, this game had everything. I'm now going to channel Stefan, the character from Saturday Night Live. This game had everything. It had Brady. It had Gronk. It had Juju. It had Igo Rugo.
Igo Rugo?
Oh, that's the thing where your eyes go, it's a touchdown, but the rules go, it's not. And everyone was very upset with this. And I noticed so many people on Twitter tweeted right then, this is why people aren't watching the NFL. Rules you can't understand.
But they understand. All were. Mm-hmm.
My point exactly. So I quite enjoyed this game. And if one of these two teams, and say the Eagles or some other marquee exciting matchup, rematch with the Falcons, if that's the Super Bowl, could set records again.
First of all, I will not only admit that I'm a fan of football, I'm a fan of the Patriots, which is...
It's an easy thing to be.
Well, not a lot of people outside of New England like that, Bill, let me tell you. I don't think that the ratings decline or Trump or blech. You know, I'm kind of just so sick of all of it. You know, it's like people are still watching football. People probably will be watching football for a while. And I think that you can't discount sort of cord cutting or any of these other factors. I don't want to give Trump any credit for having any effect on this. Even thinking about that sort of drives me a little bit nuts. But I guess that's 2017 for you.
All right. Mike, first of all, you're right. I have this pre-existing notion that football should be less popular, and I really don't like the fact that you've troubled that pre-existing notion and caused it to wobble. I don't know whether we can draw any conclusions from one game or even 1 week's worth of games. I think maybe after the Super Bowl, when somebody crunches the numbers, we'll be able to know whether, in fact, the NFL has been in the process of becoming less popular. And until then, I'm going to cross my fingers and hope for the best. Mike, back to you.
You will hope that it became less popular.
Precisely
for the right
what I'm hoping. Yes, exactly. Yes, in the interest of saving the brains of players now and in the future.
There's that great line. Oh, I want to credit the person who said it, but I never thought in the great national divorce the Democrats would get football.
Yeah.
Charlotte, you're our closer this week. What have you got for us?
Oh, speaking of closers, let's talk about baseball. I want to talk about the fight that we all deserve to end this really weird, dark, dystopian year. Marlins Man versus Derek Jeter. Now, for those of you who don't know Marlins Man, he is a lawyer named Lawrence Levy who lives in Miami and has season tickets to the Marlins, wears an orange visor and an orange shirt, and he also buys tickets to every big sporting event. So the World Series, you'd see a flash of orange in a sea of whatever team's colors. I actually met him and wrote about him when I was in Miami at the All-Star Game, and he said some troubling things about women and cheerleaders and it was a trip, and not necessarily a good one, but Derek Jeter now has bought the Marlins and traded away Giancarlo Stanton, their best player, to his former team, the Yankees, which no one seems to be thrilled about. And Marlins,
except the Yankees.
Well, right. Sorry, I don't count them. and Marlins Man went to a town hall that Jeter had and stood up to the mic with a stack of papers and just sort of started assailing him. He was like, "Do you know who I am?" And Jeter said, "Well, I've heard of you." And Marlins Man said that he'd had offers from other teams to wear their jerseys and that he wasn't buying his season tickets again. Mm. And I just think that this is two people who don't have to be doing any of the things they're doing. I think it's somewhat telling.
Mike, do you foresee Marlins Man changing colors and teams?
Well, who would he become? Giants guy? Phillies fellow? Anaheim Angels amigo? Diamondbacks dude?
Diamondbacks dude, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. He raises a good point. It seems to me that Derek Jeter's motivation is essentially to harvest the Marlins for parts. It's like the plot of a sci-fi movie. Let's have a new kid via cloning, but we'll just use his parts for the old one. So once again, Marlins Man leads the way.
Well, it seems to me that fire sale is in this team's DNA. This is not the first time that the Marlins have divested themselves of everybody who could actually play baseball.
Right.
I wonder if Marlins fans, including Marlins Man, should have learned by now to shrug it off. If you're going to root for this team, this is what's going to happen, right?
Well, the first two times they did it, they got a World Series. But the last time they did it, they just got a overly expensive stadium that the taxpayers are still paying for.
Exactly.
I don't know what's going to happen this time that they've done it.
Tanking can work. Look at the Astros. I think tanking when there's not a sort of clear path forward, it can be way harder for fans to swallow, especially when you have a guy like Jeter, you know, from the Yankees coming in, getting rid of guys, going to the Yankees. It's really kind of hard to wrap your head around and see the silver lining. I hope there is one. I also just really hope that the Marlins don't get rid of their incredible home run dinger machine that has a dolphin jumping over a waterfall whenever anyone hits a home run. So if we can keep that, maybe everything will be okay.
My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been Charlotte Wilder of SB Nation and Mike Pesca, the host of the Daily Slate podcast, The Gist. Thanks to both of you.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Take care.